Fellow Freedom fans, yes it is, David Allen Carmichael again with this Faith and Freedom Show. Engage in these issues on a constitutional basis, biblical basis, basis of right versus wrong. I opened my big mouth Friday, didn't I? You know what I did Friday? I mentioned this Moccasin Bend Clean Water Authority thing. I mean, is it a done deal or what? Yeah, I was really introduced to it on, I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. There was an article that came out about the approval of $100,000. And so I visited the idea on Friday because those Tea Party guys mentioned it when I went to their meeting and did some interviews. And so I opened my big mouth, and I actually opened my big Facebook today and opened my big podcast at preservativetalkradio.net, and I said, Moccasin Bend Clean Water Authority - dangerous innovation. Now, that's not what you're seeing in the news, is it? It's all good news. So that's dangerous. For one, people with lots of money, I'm sure, would not completely agree with even the even saying something like that. I might be completely wrong. Okay, let's say I am almost completely wrong. 99.999% wrong. Let's just say that. But let's just say on the other hand, I'm 0.01% right. So, you know, just for shock value, I posted it to preservativetalkradio.net. Because I opened my big typewriter, I've got to come back to that. But I think this discussion today, I'm not able to pull off the kind of things that I wanted to discuss here. And I really wanted to go to the Tennessee Constitution and talk about it, read it, and talk about the, there's little nuances to Tennessee's Constitution and the gun thing. You know, I think that need to be taken care of. Actually, talk to you about it so you know why. You know, you won't just spout what somebody told you. You actually have a little more information. There's other things to think about. What happens, say, for instance, if the government has the power to just say no? Like, you're going to ask for a license. I want a license or a permit to have a sign in a certain spot, and they say no. Or they put a condition on it. They say, well, because we have so much power now, we come in with our, you know, police power and shut you down or fine you or something like that. If you don't do exactly what we say, what we're going to ask you to do is take this license. You've got to forsake some constitutional right. Maybe it could be religion. I don't care what your religion is. Maybe you can promise to never go to church again. And you get a driver's license. Now, what do? Not drive? It sounds hypothetical, but in practical consideration, those kind of things are happening these days. So I haven't even gotten to the gun point, but what do you do? And the point was, can you lawfully, rightfully, biblically do what is called civil disobedience? It means you're not obeying a civil ordinance. So let's just say even you try to get a license and they say, okay, you can have a driver's license, but you've got to promise to never go to church. What do you do? What's your Christian responsibility? Wow. Can I tell you, it's going to take some study. And you can't just be flippant and do the eisegesis and pick the scriptures that apply to your, you know, bent. You got to connect the dots. Big dots. I will say that you can find out what the biblical take is in many instances by doing a thorough study on the law upon which America has been founded. You can find the biblical principle by it's been preserved. Law, that God's law, the right law, those things that are right, has been, it's miraculous. It's been preserved. Here's a case in 1939. It's a property right case, where they were saying, yeah, you can have a sign on your property just like everybody else, but you've got to give up the following thing. We want 50% of your acreage. This is happening in Florida. Recently, somebody, there was something in the news where somebody gave up like 150 acres just so they can use that 25 acres to have a business. Wow. But again, this is, let's just say, yes, you can do the following thing. In this case, it was you can have a sign, but you have to give up something. You got to yield your property right to us. Here's what the court said. A state cannot grant a privilege. That would be like a driver's license, right? Subject to the agreement that the grantee, that's a person who gets the license. The state cannot grant a privilege subject to the agreement that the grantee will surrender a constitutional right. That's absolute. You can't do it. You can't say, oh, we'll give you this qualified privilege that we control, but you've got to forsake something that is protected by the Constitution. Even in those cases, this goes on in Alexandria versus Texas Company, it's an oil company in 1939. Even in those cases where the state has an unqualified power to withhold the grant altogether, and where such a condition is imposed on the grantee, listen what he can do under the law. And try to explain this biblically or in law. This is what you can do if the state says, oh, we'll let you have, I'll use a driver's license, because that's something somebody, you know, you're aware of that kind of thing. And I'll just say, you know, hypothetically, you have a driver's license, but you got promised to never go to church again. I mean, you know, it sounds extreme, but I mean, I'm giving two little ideas that would be weighing against each other. Where such a condition is imposed upon the grantee, he may ignore or enjoin the enforcement of the condition without thereby losing the grant. So I'm going to shorten that. It should be a comma in there. He may ignore the condition without losing the grant. It means that, say, for instance, theoretically, if you're not blind and you know how to operate an automobile safely and you obey all the rules of the road, if they said you got to forsake God in order to get a driver's license, you could use the automobile without a license. Even though they have this unqualified power to withhold the thing. Okay? You've got it. It's like they've already approved it. As soon as they do that, it's almost like they bless you, because really, the state has to actually have a reason for this regulation. So you've got a right to use your automobile, but they've got this counter right to regulate it for the health and safety of the public. But it's got to be reasonable. It's got to be related to the restriction. You know, we're going to regulate it. In other words, you're going to have to test. You got to make sure that you're not blind. You've got to obey the rules. And if you start going crazy and ignoring all the rules and crashing into people or doing crazy, dangerous things, then we're going to take away the license and your privilege of using the automobile, which is something you have without the license. It's merely restricted by this license regulation. But this privilege that everybody has who has a property and has the ability to use an automobile, will be restricted if you don't comply with the rules of safety. So they have a power to restrict something that would naturally be yours to do, but they can't say, oh, since we're doing that, we're going to say you can't go to church unless you, yeah, if you really want this license, if you want to join the club and do what everybody else can do, you have to forsake your religion. I mean, that's an example. So in the case of a Second Amendment, you see how this connects. And again, if you disagree, it's 888-248-2046, 888-248-2046. With regard to guns, if the purpose, and I'm going to come back to this tomorrow, I'm going to read from the Tennessee Constitution. I might even say something really extreme. Tell your friends, give them the phone number, be ready. You say, whoa, David's a real egghead. I'm scared to call him. I'm not going to make you look bad. It's not going to, well, I can't say it's not going to happen. I can't, you know, okay. Yeah, fool is esteemed wise when he keeps his peace. Well, that way you don't call. I mean, that's just something. Okay, here we go. We're coming back tomorrow, but let me say this. What is the purpose of the Second Amendment? It's constitutional right. Second Amendment doesn't give you the right to keep and bear arms. It reminds the government of that right thing in law that you ought to have arms. That's it. It's a right thing. In the created order, it's a right that is absolute that you cannot forsake because you enter into a state of society. It's a natural right. You can change your plowshare into a sword at your prerogative and the leading of Almighty God. The purpose of the Second Amendment just tells the government there is a right thing, and it reminds them of it. And for what purpose did those people put it in there? Not merely that you could have a semi-automatic rifle with a 10-round clip. You could have a automatic rifle with a 4,000-round clip and a water cooler on the barrel. Or a jamming device. See, how could get us in a lot of trouble? What's the FCC going to say? I don't know. But I think what I'm doing is bringing up an argument on the basis of what the Constitution is. That means you could have a ground-to-air missile, theoretically. And in theory, is this not true? My fairness doctrine is 888-248-2046. So don't go crazy on me. Keep the context of this conversation. The purpose of the Second Amendment for the sake of the government is to remind them that the people who are the king have the inherent unalienable right to fight against, with all means available, a standing army that the legislature raises and says, here, we're going to pay you to be a standing army. What does the standing army have? The standing army, I mean, technically, this is a little bit weird, it's a little bit creepy. I mean, come on, think about it. They got nuclear weapons. I mean, I don't want anybody to have a nuclear weapon. I really don't. I'm talking about in the big picture here. It's for the purpose of standing against the standing army. It's weird but true. That's where we are. Now, my hope is, our preservation isn't going to be, our salvation is not going to be in weapons, folks. Something that I interviewed Alan Keyes, he's a very bright guy. And in the interview, he said, it isn't the government, it isn't the laws that keep people from protecting the law. It's the morality, it's the very condition and state of the society that keeps peace in the society. It's their respect for law. It is their respect for one another. It's respect for God, the value of law, and those things that are right that keeps peace in this nation. That respect, that sense of who we have been, who it is that created us, and our ultimate final judgment and reward, the more of us that have that understanding, the greater the likelihood that we're going to be at peace in this nation among each other. That means the police officers will have respect for you and the law and the limits of their power, and that you will know the limits of your civil discourse and possibility of civil disobedience. So it all comes down to this: whatever is not of faith is sin. It really does, folks. And it comes down to that thing I said earlier, John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. If you abide in my words, you are my disciples indeed, said Jesus, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Yes, it is commercial talk radio, and we're talking about the issues of the day. I do it on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. We're coming back tomorrow, and I'm actually going to open up the Tennessee Constitution. We're going to talk about this, give you an opportunity for some calls. Go to our website, preservativetalkradio.com. See the things I talked about, the Moccasin Bend Clean Water Authority, at our website, preservativetalkradio.net. Talk to your friends about it, see what they think. What do they know? And of course, if you know something that you'd like to share with me, please give us a toll-free call. You can find it on the website. And also, just give me a call, 888-248-2046. David Allen Carmichael for Copperhead Radio, Liberty Works Radio Network, and Freedom Ministries.